How's everybody doing today? I'm hearing myself really loud up here. That's better. It's a little better. Yeah. Even if I hear myself, I don't listen to myself, so. Right? Yeah. Let's start with prayer today. Father, we need you to help us each day see what's going on around us every day. Lord, we often get caught up in what we're doing and what has to be done with kids and jobs and all the things that life's about, that we sometimes speed by things and we don't take the time to look around us and see other people. Lord, help us to remember that job one has always been and always will be to tell other people about you. However we do that, and we all can do it differently, God, and you've given us talents and abilities to achieve that wherever we're at in life, wherever we work, wherever we live. Lord, help us to remember that's always job one. So God, this morning as we look at your word, once again teach us how to do that better, how to put that first and foremost in our hearts and our minds, that there are people out there that need to hear from us. Because we know life's not fair. And sometimes we see their lives and we know that things are not good. So God, remind us each day that we have the answer to all of that. It's you. So God, keep speaking to us through your Spirit and through your Word, and remind us that what we have in you is far greater than what we can drum up or what we can imagine or figure out. Help us to lean more into you every single day and who you are and what you're about. So God, we thank you that we have your Word and we have your Spirit. Now God, teach us how to use all that better. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. Now, I don't know if you've ever seen this. Some of you may have noticed this or have a knowledge of it. But there's an old Christian tradition that goes back in the church for hundreds of years. And it's a tradition of the red doors. Anybody ever seen this or know anything about it? Kinda. Even today, there's more traditional churches that still uphold this. And what they'll do is they'll paint the entry doors, if they have doors like that, red. And it's a symbol of sanctuary or a symbol of peace. It's a way to say this is a safe place for you to take refuge in the love of God. So it's kind of a symbol like that. And today as we finish up this study in Colossians, it's a symbol of what we're going to find is we'll see this image, this statement in the text. And it's a symbol of a door. And now this is a metaphor that Jesus loved to use. He used it numerous times, and it's one of that shows up in the writings of the Apostle Paul from time to time. And it's this idea of open doors. And so now, usually when we think about open doors, it means something has worked out. It means the plan came together, right? The door's open for us. And we had this inspired opportunity that presented itself. And usually we think of open doors, we think of major decisions that we make, right? Like where we work, where we live, where we go to college, what we study, who we marry. And when we say the doors are closed, that typically means that something we were hoping for, something that we were planning on, didn't pan out. The doors just closed on that idea, right? And it could have been a job fell through or a deal dried up or a relationship we thought was going to work out just didn't pan out, just didn't work. And usually whenever doors close, sometimes there's a disappointment, there's a letdown, there's a hurt, there's a pain that's usually attached to that when doors close on something we were really hoping in. But when a door is open, that's when we get excited because sometimes we feel like that's an answer to prayer, like we've been praying about this, or if I could just get to here, or this could happen, that'd be great. So we feel excited about it, that God moved on our behalf, right? That a divine opportunity was right there for you, and it opened up. And Jesus speaks this idea of the open door in the last book of the Bible, Revelation, and he's talking to one of the early churches, And I want us to look at what he says. Get this. He says this. This is to the angel of the church of Philadelphia. This is what the one who is holy and true, who holds the key of David, says. When he opens a door, no one can close it. And when he closes it, no one can open it. I know what you do. I have put an open door before you which no one can close. I know you have little strength, but you have obeyed my teachings and were not afraid to speak my name. Now, this is encouraging for us because Jesus says when he opens a door that even an army can't shut it, right? And when he closes a door, that a lifetime of trying to pry it open is not going to work. Just nobody can. Nobody can open, nobody can close it once he's done it. So what he's telling us is this, and I am the God of the open door. And in this verse, he says, I know you have little strength, right? He's talking to this church. I know you have little strength. And I'm thinking, is there anybody today who can resonate with that? Anybody have little strength or just a little tired this week? Just kind of like, strength. I wish I had some more, right? And psychologists, they have identified something. I've mentioned this before. What they're calling pandemic fatigue. And people are still dealing with this, even 6-7 years later. Have you heard about it? Anybody felt it? It's just pandemic fatigue. And what they tell us is it's this constant battle with emotions and with change and uncertainty. It's just worn us out. And that can build. Other things can get involved in this besides COVID and all that. You know what Jesus said to those who have pandemic fatigue in this world? He says, listen, come to me. If you're tired, if you're worn out, if you're fatigued, if you're burdened, he said, come to me. I'll give you rest, right? I'll give you rest. You put your trust in me. He said, I'm holy, I'm true, I'm the right way, which means you can trust me with the open doors of your life, right? And you can trust me with the doors that I open for you. You can trust me with the doors that I close for you because I love you. And I'll do those things for you. God loves to open doors, but he loves to open them where only he can get the credit and only he can get the glory. That's the way God operates. A few months after COVID finally settled down, for you guys just to jump back in where we left off and open the door so people could feel welcome, so people could feel, could encounter this safe environment that we had set up, encounter the love of God, that was awesome because everybody just kind of jumped in and helped. So whether we're on site or whether we're online, we're on mission to help people simply encounter who Jesus is the best way that we know how. But I want to say thank you. Thank you for serving, not just back then, but every week you're doing something, and thank you guys for doing that. How many of you guys would say, I want prayer for more open doors? Raise your hand. Okay, how many of you would say, I want prayer for new opportunities? Put your hand up. I need some new opportunities to happen for me. How many of you say, I want prayer for new friends? Need some new friends, maybe more positive people or better people in your life and something like that. how many of you would say, I want prayer for more income? I need more income. Some of you probably going to raise both hands, like, yes, that's what I need, more income, right? And it's not primarily raising our standard of living when that comes up, but it's about raising our standard of giving because God, he loves to bless us. And you know what God loves more? He loves when we bless other people, however we can. And let me say this, it's not always about money, okay? Money is a small fraction of that. Blessing other people, it doesn't always have to do with money. There's so many other ways we can bless people other than just money. But he loves it when we bless others. When we bless others, we reflect his heart. We reflect who he's truly about. And so when God opens the door of ministry, he first opens the heart of generosity to respond in his people. So he knows it's coming, so he opens that in us. And when we pray for open doors, it's good for us to think back and consider, how did I do with the last door that God opened for me? How did I do with that? Do I even remember that? But how did I do with that last door that God opened? How faithful have I been with that last opportunity that God just said, boom, and just opened the doors? How have I been? And here's where we got to be honest. Because sometimes we just want the new thing to escape the old thing, when the reason that there's not a new thing is God wants to use the old thing to do another new thing in us. He said, I'm going to use the old thing you already got, and I'm going to do a new thing through that. But we're waiting for the new thing. And the way Paul talks about open doors, it's going to change your life. There's no question about it. I believe it will change your life. It's not going to mean that you sell your house and you move to Indonesia, although you could. It doesn't mean that you're going to quit your job and get a new one, although you might. It doesn't mean you're going to, sell everything and go to Bible college, but you could, right? But what Paul teaches us about open doors is going to be able us to see the miracles in the mundane, be able to see what's going on around us. He's going to teach us how to, rather than try to escape our lives, which a lot of people try, how to live in the life that we have, truly live in the life we have, that we're in. And my prayer for you today, and it's been all week, is that God would give you this, the only way I could put this was tie a Jesus word into it, just kind of a baptism of fresh seeing, right? That you could just see a little bit more clearly, that you'd be able to see the open doors around you. So what I want us to do, we're going to look at Colossians chapter 4. So if you have your Bible, Colossians 4, if you don't, there's some in front of you. It's on page 823. And so I want to look at what Paul writes about this. Colossians chapter 4, starting with verse 2. He said, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us, too, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I might proclaim it clearly, as I should. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation always be full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Now, what's interesting about this, and I saw this in a different way, a new way this week, what's interesting is when Paul talks about open doors, he's talking about people. That's what he's talking about here, people. He's praying for open doors, and he's praying for people. He's praying for open hearts. He's praying for ministry opportunities. Now, remember the grounds which we've already covered in this book. It's about the supremacy and the sufficiency of Jesus, right? That he's all power, he's all knowing, he's all of that, and that Jesus holds all things together. He's the one that keeps things together, and that we are in Christ, we're hidden in Christ, in God, and it's Christ in us. That makes the difference. That's our hope for glory, for later times, and we're hidden in Christ. So it's the hope of glory, and that means that when you're in Christ, you're in a relationship with him, and this is what sets everything apart, the relationship. Paul says in this passage, there are people, though, who are outsiders. Now, there are people on the outside of the faith. There are people who are outside of the relationship with Jesus. They don't have that part of it, right? Now listen, they're not outside the love of God. They're outside of a relationship with Jesus. They've yet to trust Jesus. They've yet to be in Christ. And there's really only two places you can be in life. Either you're in Christ or you're outside of the faith. One or two in life. That's it. That's the only choices we have, right? So, but listen, once you're in a good place, right? You can rest assured that God's going to take care of you. You're in a good place. But you don't behave your way into Christ. You don't behave your way into being saved, salvation. You believe your way into Christ, right? We're saved by grace through faith. We're not saved by our good works. We're saved for good works. Once we're in Christ to follow him, to reflect his glory here on the earth, we do things for him and through him, right? And so Jesus gives us this grace to live for him. But to be in Christ means we're at peace with God. And what I've discovered is that it's impossible to have peace of mind in the world unless you first have peace with God. Just the way it works. People are looking for peace all the time. So whether you're a follower of Jesus or not, all of us, I think, long for some sort of peace of mind. Because sometimes you talk to people and their minds just can't settle. They never settle because they're struggling constantly with life, right? It happens. The past 6 months have been tough around the world. Just turn on the news, everything. It's just tough. I can't tell you how many times I thought, how do people make it without Jesus? Now, that's coming from me who you know, I try to follow Jesus the best I can, do the best every day that I can, not perfect by any stretch of the imagination, but being on that side of it, I think that way now. How do people make it without Jesus? Now, I've been on the other side, which didn't give any entertainment or any thought to Jesus, but now I'm on this side, I think, how do they function? How do they get through without Jesus? And so I thought of this. I don't know how they make it. And we still have pandemic fatigue. We have isolation, financial challenges, mental health issues, battles with addiction, despair, discouragement, all those things. And it's just a tough time to be alive on the old planet Earth right now, right? It's tough. And I don't see how you make it through without Jesus. It's hard for me now to think otherwise. I don't know how you make it through without the hope that only He can give. I don't know beforehand how I did things, how I made it. Obviously, it wasn't working for me, so I found Jesus, and that's what changed everything. Then I realized, oh, there is something better, you know? And so it changed a whole lot of things. But people are trying. I mean, they're trying. They're lost. They're hurting. They're confused, and they're afraid. In the church, we're the ones that have the good news. We're the ones that have the story that can change everything for them. We're the ones who have the hope that only Jesus can give, the hope of heaven. And not just heaven after you die, right? We always think about that. But the hope that we can give, we can have the life of God, the peace of God, the love of God, the joy of God in our lives right now, up there, down here. We can have it right now, every day. That's why Paul says, pray for an open door. Pray that people's hearts will be open to receive this good news, this story about Jesus. And sometimes, y'all, it's not so much what you say, sometimes it's just how you live it in front of it, how you act in a certain situation, and they're watching. But he says, just so they'll receive this, however we do it. And it should get our attention in this passage, what Paul asked for prayer for, because we got to remember where he's at. Where's he at? Y'all remember where he's at? He's in prison, right? He's in prison. He's in jail writing this letter. He's locked up. He says in this pressure, I'm in chains for preaching the gospel. I'm stuck in jail. And he said, listen, I'm in jail, and you know what I'm going to ask for prayer? He said, I'm going to ask that I get out of jail. I'm going to ask that somebody post bond, right? Somebody please come post bond to get me out of here. I'm going to be praying that I get a release. I'm going to pray that all this persecution against me stops right now. But Paul didn't pray any of that. None of that's in there. He didn't pray a single thing like that. None of it. It's not that he didn't believe God could do it. He knew firsthand that God could do it. If you remember, he it already happened to he and Silas in Acts 16. He got them both released and freed. Then it happened for Peter. Remember in Acts chapter 12, crazy story. Peter's preaching the gospel. He gets in trouble. He gets arrested. They hook him up, take him in. Herod's going to kill him the next morning, right? He's gone. Death row that quick. Next night or next morning, he's gone. And so the church started praying. The church, little small group, went into this house, and they start praying that Peter would get out of jail. And while they're praying, the angel comes to Peter that night, kicks him in the side, and says, dude, wake up. We're going. He unlocks the cell. All the guards are asleep. He takes him out of the prison. He goes back to the house. And remember what the church is praying. We're praying that Peter gets out of jail, right? So there's a knock at the door. Peter's knocking at the door. This girl goes to the door. Her name's Rhoda. She opens the door, and she looks out, and she's like, oh, it's Peter. She shuts the door in his face, runs in, and goes, hey, Peter's out of jail. And they're like, what? Peter's out of jail. And they're like, really? She goes, oh. She runs back to the door, opens up the door, brings him in, and he begins to tell them what God just did, because they're sitting there praying, we want Peter out of jail. He tells the group about what's happened. And crazy story, but it works. Paul prayed that the gospel would spread from there. There'd be open doors. He didn't ask, hey, pray that I get out of jail. He didn't ask for that. But Paul prays that this gospel would spread, people that find Jesus. Because right now, a door is closed in somebody's heart. I mean, think about it. You just look around. Somebody's heart's closed. Pray that door would be open, because what matters more than prison, because the prison is temporary. It's always going to be temporary. What matters is in their heart that's eternal. That's what the difference is. That's what makes the difference. He said, I'll be in chains if it means somebody gets to be in Christ. I'll receive suffering in this world if somebody finds Jesus. He said, I'll do that if that's what it takes. So don't pray for an open jail. Pray for an open heart, he says. Pray for open doors. And so I've been thinking about this scripture all week, and it's been messing with me, just thinking, how often do I pray, God, would you change my circumstances? Anybody with me? God, can you just change the situation? Can you just tweak it just a little bit in my favor? I wonder, how many times do I pray that? God, change my circumstances or change my situation instead of praying, God, would you use my circumstance? God, would you use my situation I'm in right now, although I don't like it, but would you use my situation to bring more people to Jesus? I mean, I'm guilty of that, going, why don't I pray that more? Why don't I pray, use the situation I'm in right now, and God, I don't like it, and I wish you would change some things quickly because it's been dragging out here, but in the meantime, would you use it to change, lead more people to Jesus? It changes when you begin to see that people are the open doors. And Paul says, pray for open doors, right? Pray for open doors to the message of Jesus, the story of Jesus, through your life. We get caught up in so much in looking for the next thing that we miss the now thing. We miss what's going on right now. We can get so busy in our personal lives thinking about the next open door or the next major decision or opportunity or promotion or job or advancement or the big break that we're looking for, the next big game, that we miss the now thing, what's going on right now around us. And we get so focused on the next that we miss the now, and what the now thing is the people that God has put around us. Because I'm going to tell you, there's nothing more important than the people around you. I don't care what kind of car you drive, I don't know how much money you have. None of that, none of it is going with you. Done a lot of funerals. Have not seen anybody drive their car into the grave. Not a one, right? Seen them buried with a lot of stuff. Notes, jewelry, you name it. Pictures. But none of it's going with them. You go dig up all those graves, all that stuff's still there, or it's deteriorated. Nothing. Nothing's going with us, right? But we look for that next thing, don't we? We think that's going to be with us forever, but it's not. And so we get so focused on it that we miss it. But it's the people around us that's what's important. That's what's going to last, are those people. Because whenever God opens a door, it's just so that we can have more influence with more people. So you got to remember, when he opens a door in business, it's so you can have more influence on people. See, this is a different way of thinking. This is that transformed thinking the Bible talks about. When God opens a door and you take a different job or you move to a different area, and he's open to, like, thankfully, God answered my prayer and this worked out. You should be thinking, this is an opportunity. God set this up because now different people or more people are going to be in my life. So how do I handle that, God? Thank you for that thing you just did. Thank you for that open door, but you just opened me up to a lot more people, to meet new people maybe in a new neighborhood or whatever it might be. And so we have to think different about all these things. So it's about the people around us, more influence. It's about our hearts. It's about our life. That's what's eternal. So let me ask you a question. Who are the people that are close to you that are far from God? Think about it. Just think about people that you work with, that you know, family, friends, people across the street. Just think, who are the people that I know that are pretty far from God? Kind of make raids once in a while, but they're pretty far from God, right? Ask for prayer. I've even prayed with them, but they're pretty far from God. Would you pray that for an open door for them? Would you pray that? But you know, then we ask the question, well, how do we know when the door is open? How do we know when there's an opportunity? How do we know that? I believe the key to this is the key to the door. See what I did with that? Key to this, the key to the door. It'll sink in a minute. The key to the door is in verse 2, right? He says, devote yourselves to prayer, be watchful, and thankful. So if you're taking notes, you can write this down. Here's the first one, be devoted to prayer. So what does that mean, right? What does that mean, be devoted to prayer? Listen, we know what it means to be devoted to fitness, family, be devoted to relationships, be devoted to our favorite team. We know what it means to be devoted to our favorite TV show, right? Netflix fans, Prime. Let me watch Prime. Disney Plus. Okay, so a lot of you are out there. Have you ever finished one episode and you start thinking, I know it's midnight and I have to get up by 6, but I really want to watch this next episode. Don't you dare lie. Right? So when you watch that next episode, that's called devotion, right? You're devoted to that series. How do I know? I did it last night. I watched one more. I thought, I got to go to bed, right? I watched one more. Our screen time tells us what we're devoted to. That screen and our little screens in our pockets and our purses. Now, I don't say that so you can point your fingers at your teenager or your kids. I say that so we can look at our own lives and say, we're devoted to a lot of things, right? And really, our calendar tells a story of what we're devoted to. Look at every day, what you do. You can tell what you're devoted to real quick. Because you do, a lot of us do the same things. We know we're devoted to those things, right? Paul says, devote yourself to prayer because that's where the good stuff is, because it's prayer that opens doors. Every single time, it's going to be prayer that opens doors. It's prayer that reveals what doors we should walk through. People always ask the question, I don't know what God wants me to do in life. Pray. Ask Him. Keep asking Him. He's going to answer you eventually. It may not be today, it may not be tomorrow, but keep praying. God, what door am I supposed to walk through? How am I supposed to handle this situation? He'll show you what that is. It's prayer that helps us experience the presence and the power of God, but you got to stick with it. You know, once or twice a year, you're probably going to miss some things in between. You're not going to be seeing things as He's doing, right? So it shows us the presence and power of God. It's how we develop a relationship with our Heavenly Father, and prayer brings us peace, and it refreshes our soul, and it satisfies our hunger for stuff, and it assures us of God's forgiveness, that God is really on our side. It's not just that prayer changes us, but it changes things. It changes things in life. God answered prayers, and Jesus showed us this all the time. I mean, think about this. When you look at His life, He had the greatest impact on the world that the world's ever known, because He lived a life of prayer. And every time you read a story, it was about that. He fasted and prayed before he even started His ministry, right? The night before He picked His disciples, He went out and prayed. After His cousin was murdered, He pulled away and got alone in prayer. When He's getting ready to feed the 5,000, the height of His success, He's like, I'm out, I need to go pray, right? In the mornings, He'd sneak out before anybody else was up, and He'd go pray. At night, after everybody was asleep, He'd pull away in prayer. One night, on the night before the cross, before that happened, he gathered a couple of friends. He said, listen, you guys, just come pray with me, just for an hour. Just come and pray with me. We know they fell asleep, but just come pray with me, right? And on the cross, He prayed. Right there on the cross. Listen, Jesus lived a life of prayer all the time. That's what He was about, fully God, fully man. He came to show us what it looked like to be rightly related to the Father, have that relationship, and to teach us that prayer is the lifeblood of a Christian, and it is vital. Without it, we stink, because we'll try to figure it out on our own. And when we need it, we'll pull prayer out of our back pocket, right? We'll do that. We'll go months like that. Like, oh, wait, I got prayer. You know, when's the last time I did that? Last September, I think, right? And we'll just pull it out real quick. But it's vital to be in prayer all the time. You know that feeling when you misplace this? Anybody done it lately? Who? Who's laid your phone down like, oh, I can't find my... You did it? Okay, got a couple. You know when you lay that thing down, that feeling where you're like, oh, no. Okay, panic. Okay, where's it at? And you go into panic mode, right? Instantly, you're like, where's my phone at? And it's like something essential has been lost. Right? Like I've driven off and left the house without it. And I got to where I was like, I got to go back and get my phone, you know? And one day I just went to work and said, it'll be all right. There's a phone at work. You know, people can get a hold of me. And I went all morning without it, but it took like an hour and a half to go, I don't need that thing attached to me all the time. It's okay. You know, people could find me right now. You know, but in our minds, I think we're on a desert island where no communication is possible and nobody could ever find us. I got to have my phone, right? So we go into this panic mode. We're freaking out. But we feel like something essential is being lost. And this is how Jesus would feel without prayer. This is how I think He would feel. And so it's just essential to his life. But for us to be devoted to prayer and say, how can we make prayer more essential in our lives? How can I do that more? Right? I know I need it. I feel like it works. So how do I do that more? Listen, we'll devote ourselves to prayer when we finally realize that God is devoted to us, that he really cares about us. Now, you need to know that God is devoted to you whether you pray or not. He's still devoted to you. He still loves you, right? He's devoted to you. Check this out, Revelation chapter 3. Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and eat with you, and you will eat with me. Jesus is talking to the church here. He's talking to believers. He's saying, listen, I want to be with you. I'm standing here knocking, right? If y'all would just listen, just open the door. When we spend in time in prayer, we're just opening the door saying, Jesus, I want to be with you too. I want this relationship to work. I want to learn how to do this better because my life stinks. I'm like this, and sometimes this happens too many times. I'm trying to find a way to get back up. I need that relationship. I want to be with you too. Listen, intercessory prayers, that's when we open the door in our heart and we have this intimacy with God. We try to make this relationship work, right? We spend time with him. But intercessory prayer is also when we spend time praying for other people, right? We stand in the gap. We step in the gap for them. We pray for our spouses, our kids, our church, leaders. Pray for those who don't know Jesus. That's us doing intercessory prayer. Listen, prayer creates opportunities for God to show up, for God to move, and God to do the thing that we cannot do. Right? We don't have this superhero power that we can just snap our things and make all things work. We can't do those things. We have to tell ourselves, I'm not God. Only God can do that. Only God can show up in that way, and he will. I remember one time when our son was little and he wanted something for his birthday, and I said, you should pray for it. Classic parent answer, right? I just pray for it. And while he's praying, a day later, I went and looked and at a store and found what he was wanting, what I think he was wanting. And so I ordered it, and we're going to surprise him, and it was going to be shipped. I had to order it, get it here. The next day, he sends a screenshot on my wife's phone. He says, this is what I want. And it was the exact thing that we had ordered. And so I played dumb. I said, what is that? He said, that's what I want for my birthday. I said, okay. I said, just pray about it. And because I started thinking, you know what? That's what prayer is. It's asking for the thing that our Father has already ordered. Think about this. And what are the things that our Father has already ordered? Salvation, life change, transformation, peace with God. It's asking for the things that he's already ordered. They're already there. All for us. He's already ordered them. That's already on his heart to give. And he does it all the time. And then he says, the second thing he says, be watchful. He says, have your eyes open. You know that little emoji with the big eyes? That one? How many of you send that? Like, oh my gosh, right? You send it because you're surprised? That one. Be like that. It means to be watchful. Watch out. It means to look around. Being watchful is be able to say, God, I see you working. I see you moving. It is to have fresh eyes to see God moving around doing his thing. Being alert for that. Seeing what's going on around you. It's watching what God would do. I see you stirring up conversation, God. I see you stirring up this spiritual curiosity in people around me. I see you the opportunity to invite somebody to church. I see the opportunity to just give them a word of encouragement because they're having a bad day. I see the opportunity to send a scripture. God, I see the opportunity for us to pray. Somebody says, would you pray for me? Listen, you don't have to say yes and then pray for them later. You can pray for them right then. And I suggest you do that. Pray right then when somebody says, hey, could you pray for me? I'm struggling with this, and I just need some prayer. You're like, yeah, I'll do that. And then you both go your separate ways. Pray for them right then, right? You can pray right there. That's a powerful moment for God to show up. It's being watchful for the open doors, and you have one right there. Pray for them. Then when the door is open, it's having this courage just to step through it. That's oftentimes where we kind of We kind of stand on this side of the threshold and go, have the courage to step through it. God's going to guide you. And what we find is that oftentimes we pray, God, would you move? And then God moves, and I think about Peter. I think when they open the door, it's just like we can open it up, and the answer is right there we've been praying for, right? We open the door, and there it is. But we have to have the courage to step through it. It's like it's there. God gives us eyes to see. Be watchful. Watch and pray. Now, watch for the God moments. We need to do that. But then also, I encourage you, as we watch, we have to watch how we live, okay? And this is huge. In verse 5, it talks about be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. This is the last two verses of that. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Everybody. So he's saying, watch for God moving, but then also watch your life. He's saying, don't waste a God moment. Don't waste a God opportunity that you have. Don't waste a door that's open by living a life that contradicts your message. And unfortunately, today, in the church as a whole, not necessarily this church, but church as a whole in the world, we have a lot of people who say we follow Jesus, but their life contradicts that. And people look at us and go, huh, so you say you follow Jesus. Yeah, I don't believe that. I see what you're doing. Now, we do make mistakes, but some people on purpose will live contradictory to what they say they believe. We can't be like that. Although we make mistakes and we're going to mess up and we're going to sin, I get that. But if we're honestly trying to live the way that God's having us to live, then we got to watch how we live because people are watching us. They're looking at us. The way you live and the way you speak makes the story of Jesus attractive. And so you have to think, everybody you're around, everywhere you go, how do I act? How do I live? What do I say? What do people see me act when something happens? When a circumstance comes up that doesn't go my way, what do they see? How do they see me handle it? What comes out of my mouth? He says your conversation, whether it's in person, whether it's online, or it's on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, text, around the table, on your phone, let your conversation be full of grace so you'll know how to answer everyone. That you'll be tuned into that when they ask things. Now, there's almost this implication or expectation that we would live in such a way where people will be asking questions like, tell me how to have such peace. How do you have such strength? How do you have such confidence? How do you have such faith? How do you have such hope? How do you have such direction in life? And when that question is offered to you, when that door is open, pray to have courage and boldness to do nothing but proclaim Jesus. Now, I'm not talking about you always rattle off a bunch of scripture, right? Sometimes proclaiming Jesus is maybe telling them how God does that for you. Maybe it's praying for them because they're struggling with it. There's a lot of ways to proclaim Jesus, clearly. Point them to Jesus. He's the only hope. He's our only hope. He's our go-to. He's our example. Point him to him in however you do it. Then he says this. He says, be thankful. So be devoted to prayer, be watchful, and be thankful. Now, when somebody opens a door, what do you usually say? Somebody, when they open the door? Thank you, right? We're taught to say thank you when someone opens a door. That's just something a lot of us grew up with. And I wonder how many times God has opened doors that we just walked through and forgot to say thank you. Opportunity popped up. I can't believe this. This turned out great. We walk through the doors and we forget to turn around and go, oh, by the way, God, thanks for making that happen. I wonder how many times we've done that. I think unexpressed gratitude is experienced as ingratitude. There is a story in Scripture where Jesus heals these 10 guys that have leprosy. And one of them comes back and says, thank you, Jesus, for healing me. And Jesus, I'm sure, is standing there going, weren't there Weren't there 10 of you? Where's he? Weren't they healed too? What this passage teaches is that God notices gratitude. But you know what? He also notices ingratitude. He's aware of that. And gratitude awakens our hearts to the activity of God around us. Right? Gratitude does that. I've mentioned this, and I don't know if any of you picked up on it. Great, I'm glad you did. But every morning before these 2 feet hit the ground, I think of 10 things from the day before that I'm thankful for. Now, I always say Sunday's easiest because I got a lot of them on Sunday mornings that I'm thankful for. But I think of 10 things that I was thankful for from the day before my feet hit the ground. God, thank you. Yesterday, thank you. I hate to say it, but thank you for tacos. Had tacos yesterday. Oh. I hope they're in heaven. Just, I really do. Thank you, God, that I could mow my yard. Thank you, God, that yesterday I could go to the store and get dog food. Simple things that God sets up and makes happen for me. Just 10 things. Gratitude changes things. It does. Entitlement. When we live as sons and daughters of God, and we feel entitled, we lose eyes to see what God would do. But you know what's interesting? When you go back and look at the life of Jesus, you see that gratitude, that being thankful, connected with all the miracles. When he's getting ready to give thanks to feed the 5,000, he takes the bread and he gives thanks. And maybe it's through gratitude that we're able to see the miracles that are already around us. Just being thankful for what he's doing. So Paul says, be devoted to prayer, be watchful, and be thankful. Live a life that gives thanks for the doors that have already been opened. And maybe we need to go back and say, I forgot to thank him for a few doors. So we look around and we see the doors that are open for conversations with friends and family. Look around to see what God's already doing. And what you'll find is that God's already working in every heart before you ever get there to that person. He's already knocking. He's already drawing them to himself. He's already laid the groundwork before you ever open up your mouth towards that person. Right? And we pray for open doors to the church. I want to invite you to do something a little bit different this week, okay, as we close up here. I want for us to try to devote ourselves a little more to prayer. I talk to a lot of people, and they're like, man, I want to be able to pray more, but I don't get there. Things get in the way. I have a hard time making it a priority in my life, but I want to pray more, right? So I'm going to tell you something I've been doing for a long, long time, and people always wonder, what is that noise? What is that noise? So in my alarms, I have 7 of them every day that are on the hour from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. 7 alarms on the hour. These are alarms that when it goes off at 9, 10, 11, 12, 1, 2, 3, those are prayer reminders. It's a quick prayer about somebody or some situation. So I've been doing this for a long time. And it'll start going ding, ding, and I have to reach over and hit it. And I may be talking to somebody and go, what was that? You need to answer that? And I'm like, nope. Nope, just a prayer reminder. Like, oh. And I just keep on going. And in my head, I'm praying for whoever, right? So, if you're new to this, here's what I want you to do. Most of us have a phone, tablet, or something we can do this with. So, here's what I'd like for you to do this week. If you're not doing something like this, here's an opportunity for you to do this. Take your phone, your tablet, and set one for 7 a.m., one for noon, and one for 7 p.m. This is just to get started. You can tweak this how you want it. And you can write in what the alarm is for if you want to on your phone. You can do that. So the first one, if you wanted to write it in, it'd be a reminder just to devote yourself to God that day. It's just the beginning of conversation at that time with God and have it last through the day, just at different times, right? Just keep praying all day long. Now, noon is a reminder to watch. So first, devote myself to prayer, 7 a.m., second one is to watch. Noon is a reminder to eat lunch and watch, okay? Oh, it's lunchtime, right? And so eat lots. But then it's also a reminder to look around and see what God's doing. Okay, whoever I'm having lunch with, whoever I'm having a conversation with, whoever's around me in the moment, watch and see what God's doing. Just a reminder. Then at 7 p.m. is a reminder to give thanks. It's a reminder to live with gratitude, to look back over the day and find something that you can thank God for. Anything. Just pick something. Okay? Because he supplies it all. So pick something. Something sticks out to you, thank God for it. Because I don't want to be entitled. I want to be grateful for what I have. I don't want to be that entitled person. It's a reminder to give thanks, to be devoted to prayer, to watch, and then give thanks. So we're looking for open doors, and here's what I believe. I believe there is an open door to ministry right now, and you see it more and more as you talk to people and you see what's going on in the world. I believe there's an open door to reach people. I believe that people are more open to the gospel, the story of Jesus, than ever before, and maybe a lifetime. There's more desire, I know this, for peace. People are really looking for peace these days, and more of a longing for some sort of hope, something to hope in, looking for something that's more substantial than what they're living. People are questioning things more. They're looking for something that's certain and something that's true, and we have the answer, church. We have it. It's Jesus. We have the answer. Why else would we be here right now? Because I could be watching, what time is it, 10 after 11? I could be watching NFL Today on ESPN right now. I could be watching that, or I could be watching a movie. I could be watching another episode that I cut off last night and went to bed. I could be watching that, right? It's Jesus. So we have what they're looking for, and we've been praying for an open door, and the door is open, right, for other people. But when God answers the prayer, it's time for us to invite them to join us, time for them to walk through the doors or join us online. The point is, they find Jesus, okay? It's not that they find us. It's that they find Jesus. We pray for an open door so people can know the story of Jesus. See, the focus is not on the open doors of the building, right? This is just a building, okay? The focus is on the open doors of the heart. That's what we're after. It's what God's after. You know, there's another reason why they paint the doors of those traditional churches red. It's because it symbolizes the blood of Jesus, which most of us think about. See, every time they walk through those doors, it speaks to the reality that the only way to enter the church, the only way we enter into Christ, the only way that we're at peace with God is because Jesus laid down his life for us. That's the only way we get that stuff. It's the only way we find it. That whoever believes in him will have eternal life, that they would live forever, and they would live here and now, and that because of what Jesus did for us, you belong to him. We all belong to him. So we got to look for open doors. So walking through the church doors is just a reminder that to be in Christ, we needed a sacrifice. We needed somebody to lay down his life, and Jesus did that. And the beauty is that once we're in Christ, he just keeps knocking. He says, I want to be with you constantly. I want to be with you all the time. So here's what I'd like to do. I'm going to have the worship team come back up, but I want to pray for you, and I'm going to pray for two groups of people. The first ones would be, says, you know what, I want to see the open doors around me. I don't do a very good job of that every day. I want to see those doors open. I want to be able to notice that. I want God to help me see people more. Because I go through my day and I go through my habits and everything I have lined out, but I don't often turn my head and look at people because I'm doing a job or I'm doing this or doing that. But God, help me to see people. Maybe it's been a long time since you've seen people as an open door. Maybe you don't look at them that way. Maybe ever. God, help me to have eyes to see what you're doing in the lives of the people around me. Help me to notice that. Now, I don't want to miss the right now because I'm constantly looking to the next thing I got to do. And then the second group of people would be for those of you who need to walk through the doors of a relationship with Jesus. You've never done that. You said, I get close, but then I kind of wander off. You're saying, I don't want to be an outsider anymore. I want to be an insider. I'd love for you to have the opportunity to begin following him today. And maybe it just starts by asking questions. Like, I don't understand all of this. I get most of it, but I need to know more. We can help you with that. But we'd love to see you start going after that relationship. Listen, there's a lot of us who we wander. We wander off too much. And we find ourselves drifting away, and we're so into the next thing, the next thing, the next thing, that we don't stop and look around at the people around us. The one job that God gave us is tell other people about me. Those open doors. We need to pray for open doors. So I'm going to ask you to stand. I'm going to pray. And then if either one of those are a decision you need to make, we're here. We want to pray with you. We want to help you with that. We want to help you understand more about it. That's what we're here for. So I'm going to pray. They're going to sing. And if you have that need or you just need prayer, we invite you down. Let's pray. Father, God, life is fun. And we try to cram a lot into it. And we get busy with kids and work and family and hobbies and all these things we like to do, God. And sometimes we get so engrossed in it that we forget about the people around us. We forget, God, that you saved us, that somebody told us about you. Somebody saw us as an open door and told us